No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Keith today. We are your crew as we navigate the latest aviation news and information here on Just Plane Radio, the show devoted to the aviation lifestyle and learning to fly. And, you know, I haven't been able to fly much. I've been too busy catching lobsters. You're flying like every day, though, right, Keith?
Every single day.
And he comes in here, he's dragging a little bit because it's, well, it's the middle of summer in Orlando, and this is probably the worst flying time of the year. Am I right?
Well, that depends on your definition of worst. It is definitely the hottest time of the year.
Well,
there's no doubt about that.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying your drawers are pretty swampy.
A little bit, yes.
Yeah. You know, and you when you're running a flight school, that's just what goes with the territory this time of year. So, and but don't get me wrong. On your worst day is what most people listening right now is thinking. That would be my best day because you're flying an airplane.
Because I'm flying all day.
Right. And I think Dimitri, our Russian correspondent down there in South Florida, would agree. Dimitri is with us today via Skype. Dimitri, how are you, buddy?
I'm great.
Is that true? Would you rather be Keith, even though you might be a little swampy in the drawers there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he's actually further south, so he's just as swampy as you are. He's just not flying a plane, so he's like has a double whammy against him. You hear what I'm saying, Keith?
Yeah, but he's got a sea breeze all the time.
Okay.
So that helps out a little bit.
Right. And big baggy drawers, maybe.
And we don't have that sea breeze here until late in the afternoon. So
that sea breeze, it can bring really horrible weather to fly.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Not only
is it, storm can come unexpectedly.
Exactly. It's hot, it's swampy, it's humid, and then in the afternoon the thunderstorms kick in and make flying a little bit more
difficult.
Same here. What do you mean same here?
Well, we get the West Coast and the East Coast.
Oh, yeah,
where
yeah,
they
yeah.
clash, they clash right over Orlando.
When I say Dimitri, I mean we, as in we're in Florida.
Oh, yes.
So, all right, so we can be miserable and you know, swampy in our drawers together, which that sounds a little uncomfortable. But so let's
that
just move on.
A little weird, actually.
Yeah.
So how about you just move on?
Yes. Have you been doing any flying?
Don't think that came out the way you were really wanted.
Probably not.
The only flying what I did last week, it was flight from Washington, D.C. by regular airliner.
By regular airliner?
Yeah.
You didn't fly your own plane, huh?
No, no. I'm too busy. I had to go to Washington.
All right. Which carrier were you flying? The
American.
American. Ah. Yeah. The one that sometimes can be overwhelmed by gas. Passenger, you know, got grounded. You weren't on that flight. And actually, this last week, they evidently had an incident with turbulence on an American airliner. You
they
hear
did.
About that?
There's like 10 people taken to the hospital.
Yeah. You weren't on that one, I assume.
No. They didn't buckle up?
Who knows what happened?
Well, that's the reason why they always tell you, even when the seatbelt sign is off, to make sure you keep your seatbelt fastened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And people don't do that. Even when the seatbelt sign is on, people don't put their seatbelts on. And, you know,
right.
It can happen.
Well, just so we're clear, those are two totally separate stories with the air turbulence on the American airliner and the American airliner that they had to evacuate because somebody passed gas and made everybody sick on the plane. If you would combine those two stories, that would be friggin' awesome. It'd be like a Sharknado movie. You hear what
I'm
saying?
And you could be in it.
Gasnado! Maybe.
Yes.
Yes. Anyway, okay, I digress. You flew up there to Washington, had a little visit, which sounds kind of fun. But what made that flight stand out? I mean, what was unique about it for you?
On my way back, it was already nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw a lot of lights. And just when we passed to West Palm, I was watching outside and I was able to recognize every object on surface.
Very nice. After,
it was like when I was learning new language and one day I started to understand people. On that night I took a look down and I And I was able to see, like, wow, this is Pompano Airpark. This is the Fort Lauderdale Executive. This is the I-75 Road. This is US 41. And I see gas station where I buy coffee when I go to Everglades. And I was able to see everything, every building. It was like map. It was like...
It was a hallelujah moment for you as an aviator.
Exactly. Yeah, I was so excited. Now I understand this language.
You know what? I can totally relate to what he's saying, Keith. Because, you know, that happened to me here in Orlando, too. And when I'm flying domestic, after I did some of the flight training with you and Ed at Flight Training Professionals, I got up in a regular commercial liner, and you guys told me to chair fly. So I look a little weird, you know, sitting there in the back of the plane and look like I'm flying the plane, and people kind of give me weird looks, but I don't care.
That's because you take your yoke and mount it on the little tray.
Well, yeah, and, you know, I'm kind of used to those looks. But I'm looking out the window doing the same thing as Dimitri is describing, and I think that might be a universal thing that beginning aviators experience. Is that true?
It is, and it's a great time for us because we realize that you're picking things up.
Slowly but surely.
Yeah. And we point things out from, you know, day one, but you're so busy flying the airplane that you,
Right,
but you don't really get it until, you know, a little bit later on.
Yeah. But that is a eureka moment. I mean, it's one of those things where you're kind of like, hey, this makes sense. Like, yeah, I see Disney World. I see Orlando Executive. I see Orlando International. I see the light beacon at Orlando Executive that I would hone in on our night dive or night flight when we were doing that training. So you kind of did the same thing, and it kind of hit you in the right place. You're like, hey, this is cool. I get it now, right?
Yeah. It was like looking at map where I see every object, and every object is sighted. I can recognize everything. It was so...
Now, did you take it to the next level, which is what I did, is like, okay, let's see if this pilot up front really knows what the hell he's doing. And as we approach... I kind of look out the window, and I'm looking at the, you know, runway, and the building's getting closer and everything. I'm like, okay, you know, he's coming in a little too fast. He's coming in, too early, vice versa, and he's rotating at the right time, that kind of thing.
So, it was great. Landing was great. Touchdown was so soft, like you barely could notice touchdown.
Right. But you were critiquing him, weren't you? Or her. Could have been her. Yeah, you were watching how they were doing up front. Because you're prepared to run up there and give those guys a good lecture if they came down too hard. You know, I was flying with a non-flying friend, right? And I was doing what I just said. And we started coming down. And it was actually in New York City. And we're coming down, I think it was Newark. And I'm looking around and I'm watching out the window and we had a lot of wind. So the plane was being blown around a little bit and people were like, ooh, this is a lot of turbulence and stuff. And I was like, yeah, it is being shook up a little bit, but that's okay. They can do it. But sure enough, we came up to the airport and I see us approach. I was like, wow, we're still kind of high considering, you know, that we're supposed to probably already be down on the runway at this point. I was like, he needs to go around, and I'll be darned if he sure enough rocketed up and went right around. I was like, and I called it before it happened. How cool is that? And it was like, wow, you really know something.
Of course, he couldn't do it when he was flying himself, but you know he could do it when somebody else is.
Well,
flying.
Yeah, it's easy to come, you know,
critique somebody else.
Exactly, that's what you do, right? I'm just
that's
following
what
your,
I do. Yes.
Yeah, I know, but I'm following your lead. I'm following your flight path there, Keith. So you should be in that. Don't you feel proud that I called it?
I am proud.
I was, I was like, wow, I actually did call that. I didn't really think I was totally right, but I didn't tell my friend that. I was like, oh, yeah, I know what I'm doing. I'm a pilot. Hello. I'm some kind of a big deal.
We don't know what kind of a big deal yet, but some kind of a big deal.
Yeah, I got my picture up at the post office and everything. So but that is one of the cool things of learning to fly and becoming a private pilot, I do believe.
It is.
I mean, watching that. And it does when it clicks like that for you when you're looking down from a commercial airliner and you kind of get it. Or, you know, it would be kind of cool to be able to hear some more of the chatter they do on the commercial things, like when you're doing a, you know, a regular domestic flight. Some of the airlines let you do that,
I guess.
Some
of the airlines do if they have... the frequencies. Yeah, the entertainment systems at the seat. One of the channels sometimes will be on the air traffic control.
Right. But I don't think I've come across that too much on the domestic carriers. But an international flight, I had that on one. And
on my flight from Washington, they had it. They showed map with traffic, and they also have a camera in front, so you can watch straight forward and see direction, speed, whatever.
Really?
No, they show ground speed, direction.
Okay, but did you hear the chatter from all the other planes? You didn't hear that, did you?
You can just watch it.
Yeah, you have to pull that up on your Wi-Fi, and maybe you can figure out a way to get you can get that on the internet, can't you?
LiveATC.net.
There you go. Live right. ATC. There you go. Live see? Now you know what to do on your next flight. You just, get the free Wi-Fi or get the Wi-Fi in the plane and really hunker down and fly that puppy. Better than the folks up front. That's what I say. You're special, like me.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle. Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You gonna ride shotgun with me, help me fly?
That's the plan.
Spread your wings and fly away. Fly away. Far away. Pull yourself together, cause you know you should do better. That's because you're.
This is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith. Dimitri, our Russian correspondent from South Florida, with us, connected via Skype as well today. All right, so, looking at the news, we got another blip that showed up on my radar there, Keith, about how President Trump is creating some issues during his little vacation he's having this week. I think is it New Jersey or New York or someplace up there, up that way? And it's shut down like two nearby airports. They're saying it's costing thousands and thousands of dollars and lost business. We've heard all about all the stuff in Mar-a-Lago. That's down by your neck of the woods, right, Dimitri?
Yeah, it used to happen like every other weekend.
Yeah, so he hadn't been down there lately. So you guys are getting a little reprieve during his vacation. But it's interesting. I mean, they're really making a big stink about it this time. It almost seems like... I remember us talking about this a couple years ago when Obama would come to Orlando, and we would just get a ton of, you know, you guys in particular at the flight school here in Orlando would have a ton of problems because every time he flew into Orlando, they'd have to shut down the airport.
Right. Yeah.
And you couldn't.
Temporary flight restrictions shut everything down. We can't do anything.
And we talked about that quite a bit. I didn't really hear about it as much, I don't know, outside of our little world, because if he would come to Orlando and it really would affect you guys directly. I mean, I know they did. I mean, I know they'd put out little notices, but it seems like to me that Trump's effect on aviation has really been ratcheted up quite a bit. Now, maybe it's because of this privatization of ATC effort. You think that's part of it? You think there's some politics at play here, Keith?
Well, I think there's a tremendous amount of politics in play. There's the politics in play of, as you say, the privatization of ATC, but then there's also the politics of, you know, all the media who doesn't want Trump in office.
Well, it may be.
I should say all the media.
Yeah. Well, I don't know if there's a difference between, for instance, in the Obama-Bush years compared to what Trump's been doing. I don't know when it comes to affecting, you know, areas and shutting down airspace.
If you go back to the very beginning of the Obama era, you know, he said that airplanes were a waste of money. And,
right.
You know, he got on in... Most of his team got on the big auto dealers, automakers, because they had all these airplanes. And when they took them to Washington, D.C., they had them flying. The CEOs and stuff would be flying on separate aircraft.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just an absolute waste.
Yeah.
But if an airplane does crash, you lose everybody in the top of the company, which is why the insurance requirements state that they have to go in separate aircraft. And that kind of went by the wayside when Obama started flying quite a bit.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I don't know. I mean, of course, you know, Trump has New York ties. It's even a more condensed area when he goes down to Mar-a-Lago. That's obviously a very crazy area business-wise. It affects folks like Dimitri. It affected your flight training there for a while when he was going down there quite a bit. Right, Dimitri? Yeah?
Actually not, because the border of TFR, it was slightly above Fort Lauderdale executive. So
okay.
You're
able to sneak out of there without too much effect to you personally. But everybody nearby was affected quite a bit.
Everybody north of Fort Lauderdale, they were affected. Mm-hmm. And traffic, it was like really crazy. And on that day, I had two dispatchers working in Fort Lauderdale executive.
Wow.
Tower.
Yeah. And they were trying to keep stuff straight.
Yeah, but you say that they complain that it's expensive, and I heard that Trump's administration, they're going to reduce this cost because they're going to buy some 767 airliners from Russia.
Dimitri would know. He's going to know whether this is a political thing or there's a business connection because he obviously has Russian ties. He's not ashamed to admit it. So set the record straight. So what are you saying? He's buying some planes from Russia?
I heard that Air Force One, they're going to buy some planes from Russia.
Oh, well, I think what it was is they were initially supposed to go to Russia or something, but then didn't they take some back or something from Boeing or something?
No, they buy used planes from some Russian company.
Well, Dimitri knows. He's Russian. He's running our economy.
I don't know what they installed into those planes.
Yeah. Google it. You know, find out if it's real or fake news.
Yeah, maybe another day you can listen to Trump's conversation on live ATC from Air Force One.
Well, there, okay, of course, I'm sure that's coming, no doubt. But I don't know if there's a political element here or not. I mean, it'd be interesting to see what the numbers are, but it's getting a lot of attention, and it seems a little bit more even throughout not just the aviation world, but it's kind of filtering out through some of the mainstream media too. They're, you know, taking a it's like a piece of meat. Hey, we can use this one too. Look, he's killing the economy in Jersey during his vacation. And, you know, we heard about a little bit that when Obama had a vacation in Hawaii, he liked to go out there quite a bit. And I know they did kind of talk about that a little bit, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. Indeed. I don't know when he's heading back down to your neck of the woods. Do you look forward to him coming down there and flying into your area? It might affect your flight training, Dimitri, or no?
I received notifications like a few days prior to his arrival to Florida.
And then you leave? Or what?
No, I stay. I just don't fly north.
Okay. All right. And this notification you get is through some secret channels through Russia? Because you know this stuff, right?
Well, it's something from AOPA, I believe. Yes.
You're going to go on the legitimate side, at least for public consumption.
So Bloomberg is saying that the White House is looking at buying some 747s that were supposed to go to Russia.
That's what I thought I heard. Uh-huh. Okay. So
and
there you go.
They were supposed to go to a now defunct Russian air carrier.
Mm.
And so instead of buying brand new ones from Boeing, they're going to buy these instead.
So you
saving
gotta,
some costs.
Okay. So you got to watch Dmitry here because he's going to, he's trying to influence the public.
That's what Russians perception. Do. They influence people, right?
Yes, we kid. We're aviators. We can do this.
They're
right?
already discussing next president in Washington, in Russian embassy in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, they're already discussing it?
Yes, this is why I had to go to Washington to get next task.
Oh, that's why you had to go up to Washington. That's what. Did you nominate Keith, me, or Ed, maybe? No? We don't want that job, do we?
No.
No. It would be kind of cool. Be the most powerful man in the world. Wouldn't that be nice? I'd rather be that.
I don't know. Would you want to go through what Trump's going through?
I'd rather be that beer guy on the commercials or something, though. That'd be, I think, less stressful and stuff. So I'll leave it at that, and let you guys handle the presidency. Interesting stuff indeed. Dmitry, I know you can't hang with us much longer, so I'll let you go back to what you do, spy in the U.S. and fly planes or something. I don't know. I kid. I'm joking. He's a totally upstanding individual despite him being on Just Plane Radio. Everyone can't make the best decisions. Right, Dmitry?
Right.
More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm gonna fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me, along with Captain Keith. We are your crew today, navigating the latest aviation news and information. All right, so we talked about this a little bit last week. Last year or so, about the idea of pilotless airplanes. And a report came out this week that actually put a date on it. This is, 2025, they're saying?
2025, yeah.
That,
so they're actually going to fly one. There's a deal to fly an airliner pilotless next summer of 2018.
Yeah.
But they're saying that, I think this article is actually saying that they're actually going to have pilotless airliners by 2025.
How about that? See, and you guys laughed at me before when I said that a few weeks ago, because we were talking about that that helicopter thing, that two-seat helicopter that they debuted at Air Venture, and both you and Ed said, no, that won't happen because that's going to be, they're trying to set it up as a pilotless helicopter, like a drone type of thing that could carry two people, and you said, people won't go for it, and I'm like, I don't know, man. I mean, it's coming. I see it on YouTube.
I think that... I think that the younger generations will go for it.
Yeah.
Because they're into more of an experience than they are anything else. And, of course, they're so much into, iPads and, the gadgets. We were into computers a mm-hmm. little bit.
Yeah.
But they're so into that stuff that, I mean, they've grown up with it from their whole life. That's all they know.
Right.
And so they're very comfortable with computers and what they can and can't do.
And well, so that may be. But, still there's a trust factor, but you see all the technology happening in the cars, but they have the problem of all these other cars, whereas in the air, we're already being tracked with ADS-B and radar and all this kind of stuff. And that's why I said, well, maybe this automated pilot flying type things can come quicker? And both you guys, I said, no, you didn't think so.
Well, you know, I think that...
You're changing your tune, are you?
I'm changing my tune because I think that it is coming sooner.
Okay.
You know, we got one car that's got over 1,000,000 miles on it driverlessly already.
Well, there you go. Okay. So they're making some progress there, but will it come faster for planes? We'll talk about it more next on Just Plane Radio.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I was the youngest pilot in Pan Am history. When I was 4, the pilot let me ride in the cockpit and fly the plane with him. And I was 4, and I was great. And I would have landed it, but my dad wanted us to go back to our seats.
Airplanes, up in the clouds like angels can fly. We'll never die.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me. Captain Keith rounding out the crew today as we navigate the latest aviation news and information. Who needs pilots? Well, evidently the commercial aviation industry may not. By what, 2025, they're talking about putting pilotless airplanes in the sky to fly us all around.
That's right.
Do you think save
the airlines billions.
But what would it be for pilots? Probably not a good thing, I'm guessing, overall, or what do you think? They're still going to have pilots somewhere.
Well, you know, they're not just going to instantaneously go to pilotless airplanes.
I think
they'll phase them in. So for the next few years, they'll still need pilots, but eventually.
I think
we're all going to be just sitting at home doing nothing because, you know, we can sit at home and hunt and fish because everything's going to be done by computers.
Well, you're going to be an avatar. You're not going to physically move, but you will have an avatar. You saw the movie. You know, I forgot. You don't watch movies. But that's the future, Keith. There's going to be a Captain Keith avatar, and you're going to just sit there and, tell it what to do or just think it, and it's going to do everything for you.
But I want to do my own hunting and fishing. I don't want something to do that for me.
You
want to
gut the thing, get blood all over your hands and everything? No, you don't need to do that. You want to just partake in the part of eating the stuff. It's like catching a lobster. Yeah, actually, you're right. I want to be able to dive.
Yeah, see?
Well, they'll
it's a catch 22, isn't it?
You know, it'll be one of those things where when we get to that point, we'll, there'll be us old classic folk. Like, we're going to do it old school. No, we're not going to have the avatar make babies tonight, honey.
We're going to go old school.
Yeah. So who knows? But
some things will never be done by robots.
You know, well, I don't know about that. But regardless, we'll see. But when it comes to airplanes.
But we could have more time for it, though.
What do you mean?
If the robots do everything else.
You could have more time to just fly at your own leisure.
That's right.
That's a possibility, yeah. I mean, you don't necessarily want to go work in an airliner necessarily. It'd be an okay job, don't get me wrong, but
I've been there, done that. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, you want to be able to just fly a plane, and that would be kind of nice just to be able to putz around and go and do what you ever got to do. But, you know, the thing is, there is a little speed bump that was thrown out there this week. A survey of 8,000 people said, hey, you know, if these are coming, these pilotless commercial airliners are coming, would you buy a ticket? And they pretty much said no.
I would like to know the demographics of that 8,000 people.
Okay.
Because if they're our age, I could see the answer being no.
Really, you know, when you get up to a certain age, it's like, I don't care. If I'm going to go, I've lived enough.
Yeah, that's not us, though.
True. I'm just saying. I mean, it can work both ways. You're thinking like the younger kids are going to say, open to the idea.
Not. I don't care.
Yeah,
but
I don't know.
You know, we have seen computers fail too often,
and
so we don't trust them yet.
Yeah. Control Alt Delete.
There you go. I can't tell you how many times I've had to do that on an airplane.
Oh yeah, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's reassuring.
Well, I mean, it's part of the game. You know, mm-hmm, they get more and more computerized. You shut it off.
Yeah.
Leave it sit for 30 seconds, turn it back on, and everything comes back normal, like on your laptop or something.
You know, by the time they do this, they'll be able to navigate planes with an iPhone. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And everybody on the plane, like, hey, it'll be a backup system. Hey, Joe in 5C, we lost the main computer. Can you fire up the app, please, and steer us back to LaGuardia?
Oh, that's reassuring.
Yeah. I mean, well, actually, I'm doing a voice, which they won't even have that. It'll be a text, and right. It'll be Siri. You know, it'll be Siri.
Because Siri gets everything right.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, most of the time. Anyway, it's interesting stuff.
It will be interesting to see how it progresses.
Yeah. And but I think I did predict the future a few weeks ago. I think it could potentially come quicker to the aviation world than it does to the driving world. That is my prediction, just because of the tracking elements.
I think they're
going to
have. I think they plan on having, between Ford, General Motors, I think they're, and Tesla, they think there's going to be over, I think it's 10,000 or 20,000 driverless vehicles on the road by 2020.
Right, but that's nothing.
Oh, that's nothing.
Yeah. If you start automating commercial airliners, that's going to happen quick. If they see this thing working and they start automating these planes like that, oh my gosh, that's going to go so fast. I mean, the problem with the cars is like each car is its own little element. You know what I mean? And there's so many variables, way more variables than they have to deal with in the sky. And we're already tracking the airplanes. That's my thinking, at least. You're not as convinced as I am in that regard. But I just see with all the drone stuff that they're going to have to navigate with Amazon pushing this on deliveries and stuff and really modifying the airspace in that regard. I think we're going to see this develop quicker in the sky than down here on Earth. You know, that's just my thought. And I'll tell you, I got a new car, right? And it has one of those systems in it where it drives my car for me. If I, like, drift out of the lane and say, oh, hey, oh, no, you don't. And it'll keep it in the lane. And I was like, I'm not going to take my hand off the wheel, but I could. You can do that with it. It's pretty remarkable stuff, you know, but it's a little unnerving. It's like, okay, is it really going to turn it? Is it going to turn it?
So yep. Now you can text and drive.
You could, but I wouldn't advise that. Matter of fact, it has a failsafe. You're still supposed to keep a hand on it. And if you don't, it'll shake on you or, you know, spit at you or something. So it's not really telling you to let it drive the car. It's supposed to be a backup. It's not like the Tesla that actually drives it. This is more of like a backup system. Like if you drift out of the lane, you're driving down the highway, it wakes you up and say, hey, you, get back to driving.
Well,
yeah.
Step in the right direction.
It is. Right? It's pretty remarkable technology when you see it. I will say that. It's pretty interesting. But once again, even an old fart like myself finds it difficult to let go of the wheel. You hear what I'm saying?
Well, I'm the same way. I'm old school. I like to drive. Yeah. Everywhere my wife and I go, I drive.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have to drive.
And I like driving, so.
But
Ed, he'd be all for that.
Yeah, well, you could get so much more done. Like texting, like you said.
Well, yeah. Well.
You got to surf the internet. You got to update your Facebook status, Keith. Come on.
I have never been on Facebook.
Well, see, if you had a driverless car and you didn't have to waste all your time driving, you'd have plenty of time to have a full Facebook profile, the whole thing, and be like the rest of us, worthless schmoes.
There's the key right there.
You don't want to be like us.
Why do you always want to use my credit card?
Well, because you have one.
Well, see, it's because you guys. Never mind.
Yeah. You're not going to win that.
No, because you guys like that Facebook stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's just a necessity to be someone. You know what I mean? You don't even exist because you're not on Facebook.
Fine. That's fine.
You got a lot to learn, my friend. But flying is, freeing up your time to fly. You could at least go for that much. You know, if you freed up some more time, let cars drive themselves, you wouldn't have to, you could just focus on flying,
and that would be fun too.
That would be a good thing. So I don't know, we'll see where this evolves. You know, if I don't know what the campaign's gonna have to be to talk more people into saying, oh yeah, of course I'll let the computer fly the plane that I'll buy a ticket for, you know. Or do you think it'll just be money? You know, if they start doing these, like, you know, bear fare type, you know, promotions.
Well, the same article said that it was going to save so much money that the average airfare would go down to like $40.
$40 from where to where, though.
Well, it doesn't really say. It just says, you know, an average ticket price right now is $309, so mm-hmm. we take it down to about $40 because you one of the largest costs, according to this article, is the cost of the pilots.
Interesting. Well, that if it was $40, you know, like, hey, $40 will get you from Orlando to Washington, D.C. It's 50-50 whether you make it. But wait, $40, come on!
There you go. I mean, that may for $40, take the chance.
Right, roll the dice. You're flying, okay, Orlando to Vegas. Look at the odds.
Or Gulfport, Mississippi.
Okay, well, you know, it's on the way. But I don't know. I mean, they're going to have to come up with some way to convince people or, you know.
You know, it'll be interesting because, you know, we grew up in the era of, hey, props are bad, so we got to get rid of all the turboprops, and you have to go with jets.
Uh-huh.
And now they're saying pilots are bad. We have to get rid of the pilots. So
next thing it'll be passengers are bad. Wait, no, that doesn't work.
But it's
it goes back to the avatar. You don't fly anywhere. You fly your avatar there, and you don't care if the plane crashes. How about
that? There you go.
All right, Dad, problem solved. You're welcome.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Are you physically fit enough to scuba dive? I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll share a few ways to know for sure next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
You should check with your physician before starting a new activity and know you're ready for the physical fitness requirements for diving. Here's just one real-world activity test to consider. 1. Walk on land for 100 feet in your scuba gear. 2. Ascend a 5-foot vertical ladder from the water in same gear. And 3. Swim underwater in gear at half a knot for 30 minutes and just over double that for 3 minutes. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Any of you boys seen an aircraft carrier around here?
Night by night, away from here. Change my life again. Night by night, goodbye, my dear. Ship is a-coming, I'm a-just a betrayer.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, and Captain Keith rounding out the crew today. Okay, so, Keith, I got some viewer mail for us. You ready?
I'm ready.
All right, this is from a listener who emailed us through the JustPlaneRadio.com website. He goes, I know you guys like discussing political nonsense. Well, is there any other political content? I think it's all nonsense. Right?
Yeah.
So, especially the new privatization of ATC. So I thought I'd share this article I came across this week about the story and the business jet industry. that doesn't want privatization because they don't want to modernize. Yeah, let's go with that one.
Yeah.
The ATC system. Yet another fake news source creating havoc among average consumers. And I looked at it and I'm like, wow, this is interesting. This is a Newsweek opinion piece. And sure enough, I mean, it says the National Business Aviation Association's vocal opposition to modernizing, whatever Keith said, to air traffic control has more to do with preserving the status quo for private jet owners than protecting the interests of the flying public. It's a total opinion piece, but this guy basically is saying, well, they don't want it because they don't want any updates in the air traffic control system. That
makes absolutely no sense.
Yeah.
And the fact that most corporate airplanes are much more advanced than the airlines that you fly.
Right.
The
would
airliners
benefit
that you fly
from that stuff
are
right?
so old. Most of them are very old and have some very old avionics in them.
Mm-hmm.
The business aircraft, they can go direct anywhere they want to go today.
Yeah.
Because of all the GPS and the modern equipment that they have on board for avionics.
Well, so I guess this guy is trying to claim, like, because of that, they don't need an update on the air traffic control system. So
no, they do have to have the updates because they can't always do that because of the inherent built-in problems with our current ATC system.
Mm-hmm.
And so not everybody can do that. So, you know, if you take an older airliner that doesn't have all the updated avionics in it, they can't just go direct. They still have to fly what we used to call the highways in the sky.
Right.
And they can't just go direct anywhere.
Yeah.
Now, some of the newer aircraft that the airlines are getting are taking this new technology. But the older ones that still fly, the DC-8s, not DC-8s, but the MD-88s and older aircraft like that, older 737s don't have the GPS stuff on board.
Right.
So they can't go direct. And so they do want the modernization because it would make their aircraft more efficient.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
what
just,
business doesn't seems, want more efficiency?
Right. They just
That's why
like
they have airplanes
sense.
To begin with.
So I don't know what, is upset with this guy who wrote this piece on Newsweek, unless it really is a fake news story.
It's a fake news story is what
well,
that is.
I mean, it's on Newsweek. I guess. I answered my own question, didn't I?
You answered your own question.
Yeah. Well, it's an opinion piece, evidently. But, we appreciate that.
It's probably an opinion of somebody who really input. Is not familiar with aviation.
Yeah. I mean, that's what it looked like to me. I was like, wait, what are you saying? What kind of argument is that? It makes no sense. The real reason that the NBAA is against it is... What?
Is user fees.
Right. Like everybody else. They don't want to pay user fees like general aviation doesn't want to pay user fees either.
I mean, that's why there's not enough or as much aviation in other countries. You take Germany or anywhere, overseas that has, or even Canada, there's user fees. And so every time you do an approach, every time you do a landing, you're going to pay some fees.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we do the same thing. We pay fees right now via a tax on our fuel.
Right.
But they want to increase those. Well, we already have a pilot shortage, and if we increase the fees for pilot
for
training.
Landing. Yeah, every landing you're going to do less of them because you're trying to save money.
But you can't do that because now you're compromising safety. You still have a level of safety that you need to meet and a level of proficiency that you need to meet for the certification of a pilot.
Mm-hmm.
But it's going to make the cost so outrageous that you're going to have to go to pilotless airplanes.
Hmm. So that's the answer is pilotless airplanes?
Well, that's the way they're going.
Well, at least for the commercial airliners. We'll see. Actually,
and
the business jetters, they might be the first ones to do it, actually. You think?
Well, they certainly have the technology to do it.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. They'll be the ones who have the first Teslas in the sky.
But it's that's the reason why a lot of foreign countries send their pilots here to the United States to train because of the cost over there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only the fuel costs over there, but it's also the user fees, the landing fees and stuff like that that they have to pay in order to land.
But according to this guy in the article, his thought process is, because they make more money than God, they can afford it. They can pay more. And they're just cheap, whatever. Adjective you want to put in there. But, you know, I don't, I'm with you. I mean, they want modernization just like everybody else. Come on. Cut them some slack. Who wants to pay a user fee? Nobody.
I would love to have modernization of air traffic control system. I fly corporate jets. I would like to have modernization done so that we don't have to sit on the ground near as long waiting for departure.
Right. Make it more efficient. But user fees, you know, like you said, affects the training. It affects how much people are going to fly because they're not going to want to, you know, like if, you know, you want to fly across the country, you're going to try to do it in less stops because you're not going to want to pay a landing fee every time at this place or that place. It's just common sense and economics.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a solution that, you know, everybody in the aviation industry that I've come across has said, no, thank you. And it's not because we're cheap. It's because it just doesn't make sense. It's not good business to keep this industry growing and heading in the right direction. Up, up, and away.
I would agree.
Did I articulate it well enough?
I think you did.
Okay. Because that's how we feel.
That's how we feel.
We are pilots. We are special.
And no fake news here.
No fake news. Only the truth as we see it.
There you go.
All right. On that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember, there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to lead my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. I have some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.